Welcome to another episode of the Skokie Podcast, a special Halloween episode. It's your boy KG Goblin with Plata Rukenstein. Plata, happy Halloween. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm full of candy. We waited as long as possible to buy the candy for the trick-or-treaters, and I still failed and ate like half the bag already this weekend, so there's gonna be some unhappy kids in my neighborhood probably, because we're probably gonna run out of candy.
All right, I ate a lot of chocolate yesterday as well, being in fantasy depression. So I feel you on that.
I've been there. You shouldn't be too depressed. At least you had Alvin Kamara showed up for you for the first time this season.
Yeah, a little too late, Plotter. A little too late, but
I do have a question about one of your starters. Tell me your thought process of starting with McLeod the third.
Ray McLeod instead of playing Dobbs. I was done with Dobbs because he put up a goose egg. I know that they had the Lazard injury. Buffalo has a good pass defense, and I knew Ray was going to get a lot of snaps, and I thought that he would get like a little, maybe like a 50 yards, a little like big play. He had 54 yards and a touchdown the week before. It was like one of those like hunch plays, like last minute. I was looking for something explosive. I was already done at that point. I mean, so that's whatever. Yeah. You know,
at least it didn't make the decide the outcome of your game. So, I thought I'd bring that up right away, kind of loosen the mood a little bit. But let's talk about more serious things. Before we get into fantasy, why don't we talk about reality, about the Bears? What are your take after they got their ass kicked?
Yeah, I'm dressed up today actually for Halloween as a optimistic Bears fan. As you guys well know, I'm usually the most pessimistic Chicago fan in the world. And I've been super excited. I mean, I know they got their ass kicked, but from what I'm seeing the last couple games, especially on the road against a very good Dallas team yesterday, he's making good throws. I mean, he's actually making good reads, and it seems like he's starting to understand the game better. And they're finally running him. I mean, that's the thing they didn't do with Mitch. They didn't, like, roll him out of the pocket enough. And I'm seeing, and this guy instinctively is running the ball really well. Nationally, media is starting to say he could be the best QB of the class. So I'm actually excited. I mean, we'll see if it's fool's gold or not, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think the having the actual run plays for him, I think he rushed the ball 8 times and 5 of them were design runs that, you know, it's just going to keep the defense. That is something they have to prepare for. And he's just so elite when he's running. Like, most quarterbacks, when they, like, try to break the outside, like, the linebackers are right there with him. But every time he gets outside, it's like he's going to get past them and get to the next level. And that's just going to open up the offense. And I agree. I think he still hasn't shown consistency. This is like 2 weeks in a row where he's looked pretty good against two pretty decent defenses, which is good. But I think even last year, I think he had a couple of signs of life and then it just wasn't consistent enough. I'd like to see him continue to, you know, stockpile these good games. I can still see the Bears, you know, making a trade at the deadline and, you know, getting, you know, just trading Roquan Smith or something and like making our defense even worse, which means our offense is going to be, you know, have even more pressure on them to perform, which will be, you know, a good test for him. But, I mean, it's hard to be optimistic because obviously this year they're not contenders or anything like that. And, but it'll be interesting next year with all that, salary cap space we have to signing a free agent or two, and you know, hopefully we'll acquire some more draft stock. And I guess like always, it's always, you know, next year for the Bears, I guess.
Yeah, and look, see these teams like the Eagles make a trade for AJ Brown, who's making a difference for them. Like the Diggs trade, the Buffalo, like make a deal, like have some. These are all like mostly compensation deals, I feel like. And like, just fucking, just pay up whatever it needs to take. Get a stud receiver here, man. Like, give this guy a stud receiver. Make this happen, like, for once in our fucking lifetimes, you know. But anyway, enough about reality. It's good to see the Bears doing well. But let's get into our fantasy world, into our fantasy matches, my friend. But before we get into it, I know I haven't really responded yet. There was a little bit of ranting going on Saturday with some opinions on keeper being drafted and keeper value and such. And I just recently caught up on the thread and everything. I'll see what you think in a moment, my friend. I do value your opinion. I actually am kind of, for a while, have been saying that keepers should not be tradable. I mean, that's been my opinion from the start of it. I feel like keepers are so valuable in their own way as far as being kept that it just, them being traded just kind of creates so much stir and drama in the league. And I don't know. I kind of saw Grant's point where you have a player, like I know what we're saying, his original draft value is 25 or 30 or whatever it might be. I know it has to be under 25, I'm pretty sure. And if his draft value is 20, I get that. But then if this player is being bought for more draft capital and there's so much of an investment on this one player, I just feel like at that point, the player is not worth 25 anymore. Obviously, he's worth more. I mean, you're paying 50 draft dollars for him in one season. To me, that player is that valuable at that point that he should not be kept. It just waters down the league. And I don't know. I know it sounds a little radical, but I'm kind of on Grant's side. I think people should not be tradable. You keep a player, that's your player until you decide not to keep it. But I'm kind of having a feeling you're going to.
I disagree. I don't see the argument you guys are making. Like, if you draft someone, that's his value. Because, like, the value doesn't mean shit. It's all perceived on what we, you know, obviously what the value when they were drafted for. And I don't know. It's like these guys are, like, even if you look at all the keepers this year, most of them have been busts. Like Deebo Samuel, bust. Like, he wasn't worth, like, if you were doing all the season over again, you knew what he was, how the season was going to come out, you wouldn't keep him at that price, you know? Like, who's Eckler has been a good one. Even your Kamara one has been a bust. Like, I think we're making this keeper more than it really needs to be. Like, I think it's just kind of, we're overdoing it. We're making it think it's a bigger deal than it is. I think it is, though. It does make it an asset, you know, that you have an asset and it should be tradable. Why wouldn't you be able to? It's, you have this thing and you can spin it however you want. You can make him seem more valuable to get him in a trade thing. I don't know how it waters down the league, but I don't know. I still don't really see your argument of you and Grant's side that, you know, maybe if you want to try to break it down better for me, but are you so against it?
In the end, man, we're all going to have an opinion. You know, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one, my friend. So you can't, you know, it is what it is. So the bottom line is that we're all going to have a different opinion. I get it. I mean, that's why we do these votes and people vote, whatever. So it's fine. For now, I mean, I understand that. I'm probably not going to change that aspect of things. But as we have discussed in previous podcasts, I think the reason this is all becoming drama is because of the whole draft dollar thing and what's gone down this year. We're seeing just a lot of money incorporated going down into next year, which we'll talk about these trades in a moment. But I think that, you know, correlates. And that's why we have to fix that going into next year. So hopefully we'll do that, obviously. But let's get into the deals. Obviously, you know, we had Team I kind of buying into this year. You saw my draft grade on GroupMe. I kind of really gave Jeff a better grade on that. I thought my really overspent on Higgins, even though Chase was hurt. And I thought Team I really wasn't in position to even contend, to be honest with you. I mean, I thought he didn't have a QB. I thought Dak wasn't ready to play yet. And I got to be honest, I might be eating my own words on this podcast. Team Myers really showing up this past week. I know Derrick Henry ran it up against the Texans like he always does. But Prescott looks like he might be back. Justin Fields looks like he might be something. And Team Myers might be on the up and coming, you know, in that division there. And so I'm kind of thinking that trade a little more on the even end now after I kind of reanalyzed it. But what are your thoughts about that deal?
Yeah, I think he spent too much. I mean, like, if you look at it this way, they didn't put Chase on IR, meaning they hope they can be back on the short end of their timetable. They have a bye coming up, so he's going to get T. Higgins as the, you know, their number one, getting more targets for 2 weeks. I know he needs to get wins right now, and I get he's got to you know, work his way back into the playoffs. I don't know. He's
crippling himself for next year.
Yeah. And now, but like the difference between like his division and our division, where like the teams like me, you and Turb, who are out of it right now, are trying to climb our way back in. There's a team that's free falling, where the other division, it's kind of the top three teams are kind of all pretty solid. I know Aaron had it. He didn't even have that bad of a week, but he has best two players run by. He's going to get those guys back. They're all going to get a crack at the two, you know, they're going to get W's versus, you know, the Freds and Jeff's the world. So it's like, it's going to be hard uphill battle. Daniel's down so much in points. So it's kind of like he's down after this week, he'll be down two or one and a half games. But I mean, he's in it. It's definitely, you know, risking it all. And then even if he squeaks into the playoffs, he's still going to have to compete against these really good team. So he might be doing it all just to keep his, you know, his fact that he claims that he's always makes playoffs and that's his participation trophy is because he makes playoffs. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's kind of reckless that he's just like mortgaging his future to have a chance at making the playoffs, and then once you do that, he'll have to get really hot to run through that division. But I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, obviously, based on my draft grade, I gave him a C-minus initially. I was totally was agreeing with what you're saying initially. But the one thing that made me reassess a tiny bit is the fact that Cooper Kupp is keeper. And if that doesn't change, you got to think of the fact that that guy is worth like a $50, $55 value start of the season. So he is making a lot of money in that aspect. And in a way, that kind of makes up for it. But hey, but still, yeah, the fact that he's not like for sure guaranteed to be like a top three team. If you make the playoffs, yeah, you're selling a lot. $50 is a lot into next year's draft, obviously. So
it does, and he does have that hang up on us. I think Cooper's what 25, and he's given up about 45. I think he's given up. So now you're looking at Cooper for 60, which is around where he would go anyways. And now you've lost your advantage of getting Cooper so cheap, and now you're just paying a lot for him. And to be honest, the Rams are kind of going in the wrong direction. They've got no draft picks coming in. You know, Aaron Donald talking about retiring. You know, Stafford's another year older. And, it's not like I feel like he's either plateauing or going on his way down. You know, it's not like a lock as Cooper is going to be. Like, I mean, even this season, I know he's up there in the top tier of wide receivers, but, like, you see that he's not having that big of an advantage as he did last year. Like last year, he was just hands down better than everyone else, any other wide receiver. Now, everyone else is kind of caught up with him. Daniel's obviously when you have a keeper like that, he's leveraging it to be able to take advantage for next season. But I think the trade that he made with Jeff for Higgins with Chase could be only missing 4 weeks. One of those is a bye. The fact that they didn't put him on IR to guarantee that means that they think he can get back. You're only getting that rental for 2 weeks. And comment you made about how T. Higgins now is going to get the top, corners, and he might get like bracket coverage where you get double teamed.
True.
Whatever. He took a chance, and yeah, I don't know.
Time will tell. We'll see. Obviously. What happens, and then before we get to the matchups, just one more quick thing. We talked about it briefly last week, obviously, about the ineligible lineup. Obviously, I know there's been some discussion for that. I saw that came up with the vote. I actually left time voted. Well, what's with this abstain voting? We got abstaining. You're telling me you're going to vote with whatever I vote with? Why can't we all just have our own votes? Right?
I don't know. I thought there was no chance that he was going to get fined. This is how it works. Like people that sometimes don't set the lineup are never going to vote yes, he should be fined. It's not going to work out. Like,
yes, I agree. You know, I agree.
It's like there's no situation where like the vote once you vote no, like how are you going to change it from no to yes unless someone egregiously like clears his lineup out completely and doesn't have anyone started there. Like, I don't know. I think this voting on illegal lineups was kind of a dumb idea to start with.
It's terrible. And I we don't have to talk too much about this. We'll get to the matchups. But look, my opinion on this is this. Like I said last week, it's a competition. We're all friends. We all love each other in the end. It doesn't matter. We've been through a lot. But it's a game. But at the same token, like, it's not that hard to set a lineup, guys. It's really not that hard to pick up your phone. We're all busy. Just at least put an active roster in there, whether you give a shit about the league or not. But to me, I proposed this, and it got voted down. I said there should just be an automatic fine. $20, like it adds to the juice of the pot. It could be donated to charity. Like that way we don't have to vote and feel weird about it or whatever. Whatever. It's like stupid to vote. It's never going to get voted to pass anyway. And most leagues usually have a fine. Like it should be like, hey, if you're not setting your lineup, either that or we should do what the Premier League does, where the worst team gets demoted from the league, Medic jumps in, and then that other team is the one waiting in the outskirts. And that way, hey, if you decided to set your lineup, you're out for the league for a year, and then you get, it's kind of like a suspension, basically, and then you're back in. So that's going to be my – I have talked to a few people on the side who always bitch about people not setting their lineups, and I'm like, why did you guys not vote, like, for people to get fined automatically?
I don't think it's ever going to change. I don't think you're going to get enough people to back you up on this because some people that don't care as much as you, not that they don't care at all, but, like, are known to, like, dots at their lineup, there's a handful of them. They're always going to vote no. They're not going to want to get fined for if it happens to them.
Even some of the better players have said, "Hey, I might forget randomly, I'm going to get fined." So it is what it is. So, but if you're going to vote no, don't pitch your lineup. That's what I have to say. So, I'm sure the commissioner would back me up on that. Anyway, let's get into the matchups. How about it, huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's start right away. You know, we were talking about Team OMD right off the bat. This is one of the higher scoring matchups of the week. A huge matchup with Mutton for Sutton trying to keep his playoff positioning alive going up against OMD. OMD needed a win this week after that big trade. Even without the deal, OMD stepped up this week. Derrick Henry, who always runs roughshod against the Texans, had a monster game. Justin Fields, like we already had talked about, has been absolutely lighting it up and is kind of looking like he might be something here for Danny Boy. And finally, Dak Prescott looked good. And, you know, I mean, for Dan, the concern for me obviously always lies with his big money spent on Najee Harris. He's having an absolutely terrible year. On the other end, Mutton, he had Eckler out this week, which is always going to hurt him. He still put up 138, which is impressive. But it kind of draws me a little concern here. Like, where are we going to win a championship here with the number two running back spot? I don't think Gus the Bus or Singletary are going to be a solution for that. And the bottom line is Russ just, you know, I know he had a good game, a decent game last week, at least to win the game. But I just don't think he's going to cook enough for Aaron to kind of get to where he needs to be. But I think T.O. owned the other rise a little bit here. I know you disagree with me, but I'm kind of seeing a little bit of a spark here. But you talk to me about this matchup.
For Daniel's team, he's on the rise?
I think Daniel's team's on the rise a little bit. Yeah,
I mean, I thought you were saying that about Aaron's. Yeah, yeah. No, Daniel's team definitely. I mean, this is a week-to-week league. Like, 1 week your team can have the best matchups and your team goes off, and the next week, you know, you're not playing. Derrick Henry's not running against the Texans, and you know, Dak Prescott doesn't have the Bears defense to. I mean, Dak Prescott looked good, but like his rushing touchdown he had, he looked like an old man running, and like. He's gonna have to play the Giants. He's gonna have to play the Eagles again, you know, later in the season. And those teams aren't gonna allow him to have his way like the Bears did. You know, like we mentioned before, Fields definitely is showing signs of life, and he's had a couple back to back weeks of being good. And Cooper Kupp's left the game with an ankle injury. I think that'll be, I think he'll be able to survive that. I think he'll probably play through it. He might not be 100% next week, but. Moving forward, he should be good. But like I said before, the Rams are not heading in the right direction. They don't look that efficient on offense. Their offensive line's a mess. I think they came out of the bye and they weren't trying to just, like, have Cooper Kupp be the first read. They were spreading around to, Allen Robinson got a lot more looks this week, and you know he's got a lot in his basket with Higbee and Kupp on that lineup. He's definitely. Trending up, it's gonna be a tough battle for him to get his way up back into the playoff race, because those teams above him, I mean, if you're gonna say any of them, Aaron's team's the one that's the most unsure. So it's a big win for them this week. Aaron, still will get the victory point. He's pretty secure. I'm the one that's kind of on the hook where I need a good performance from the Browns defense. We'll get into that in a little bit, but it's going to be a battle. And I just looking at Daniel's schedule, he's got those two easy wins, but those are at the end of the season, and he's gonna have to, you know, still get these wins the next few weeks. It'll be pretty important for him. It's definitely a 50-50. You know, he's in a good position, I guess, heading into the home stretch of the season.
Yeah, and Aaron gets the victory point with you, so yeah, because that definitely keeps him up there. On the Cooper Kupp injury, obviously, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a huge disadvantage if that ends up kind of, he misses any time. But he did mention after the game that he dodged a bullet, so we'll see. I mean, we haven't got any reports yet today. Today goes on today, so we'll see what happens with that. Moving on here to another matchup, another huge matchup in our division between two teams that I feel like are on the ascent, which is the Indians. And Pick Six Pickle, I mean, it's in the books. I know you're probably shocked yourself, but are we chopping out? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you were chopping a little bit, but the matchup between me and Meetle, I obviously was a pretty big, I needed to win this one. I've got a couple of matchups. You know, next week I got another big one against the way of the shark. But I took care of business. I feel like I got pretty lucky with the schedule and not getting Mahomes or Herbert in this matchup. But, you know, I was a little concerned with some of his matchups. I got lucky with Mostert and Swift in that shootout, not really having that big of a game. I thought if those two guys really got involved, it could spell danger for me. But, yeah, I mean, I like my pieces showed up this week. You know, I needed Murray with Hopkins back. He looks kind of legit. That Philadelphia's defense is going to give me an advantage over most weeks because I think they'll give me 10 to 14 points every week with how they attack the quarterback and just their corners making plays all the time. But, yeah, Mikkel's team, even though, you know, he's sitting at 8-8, he's got a lot of weapons on his team, and he should get back into the W column soon.
Yeah, I like both your teams. I think both your teams are looking good. I think you guys are both going to be contending. Obviously, Grant's in a little bit of a free for all. My team kind of got knocked out this past week, but
I wouldn't say you got knocked out.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute, but. But the one thing about Mitchell, I mean, he did have both QBs on bye, you know, that obviously hurt him this week, but, you know, it was still a higher scoring game for both you guys. And, there's good elements. I mean, you actually had some good points on the bench too. I mean, Gibson's actually been looking good lately, which is crazy. They're not even giving Robinson the ball. It doesn't make any fucking sense. I was going to mention that about AK's team too, that Robinson's been kind of a bust there. But yeah, I mean, and Mitchell with a good pick with Latavius Murray, looks like he's kind of the starter there. That could be a good, kind of long-term thing too. And we'll see. I think teams are doing well. It's a huge win for you. And, you know, we'll see what ends up happening in the end. Moving on, you know, we'll talk about that. We were talking about the free-falling team and the other team that's just been kind of scorching lately, Team Way of the Shark, Team Bassinger, on the opposite end of the spectrum. And Team Bassinger just lights it up again. Tyreek Hill looking like one of the best receivers in the league. By the way, I don't know if you knew this, Tyreek Hill is on pace to break the all-time receiving record by Calvin Johnson of 1,900 receiving yards. I think it's 1950, and he's on pace to get over 2,000, first receiver to ever do that.
Yeah, and if Tua didn't get a concussion, he would have probably broken that in like week 14.
Yeah,
he's ridiculous. I mean, Tua's throws are like underthrown, and Hill just goes up and like stops, runs back, and jumps up in there and gets it. It's pretty impressive. He's a freak, and I can't believe the Chiefs let him go. I mean, him and Mahomes could have been doing this for decades, but now McCaffrey, that we've seen what San Francisco wants to do with him, and him,
right.
Him, Hill, scary if he gets chased back. Josh's team still question marks at the quarterbacks. I know that you know, Daniel Jones showed signs of life last week. This week it was back to the Daniel Jones that we know. And, you know, he's got, you know, Trevor Lawrence doing the same thing in London, and Dalton is never, you can't be excited about starting Dalton. So I think Josh is just, his only weakness is a quarterback. And I know that there's a guy that said that he might be selling his team. So I don't know if, Josh and Costa can strike a deal.
He's already reached out to me privately, but look at that private.
Whoa. Do it, man. Pull the trigger.
Yeah, his team's looking good. And DJ Moore might even get traded to a better possibly by Tuesday, which would be even better. Yeah, it's really good. Except for that bullhead taking off his helmet.
DJ Moore is definitely the winner in that whole McCaffrey getting traded and Robbie Anderson gone now. Now he's back to that alpha dog. He's going to get all the targets. Josh's team is flying high.
Did you see when he took off his helmet, by the way, at the end of that game and they got that penalty? Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah. That sucks. The NFL needs to change that rule. I mean, like, who's that? Who's that offending? Who's that? Who shouldn't be? Like, why can't he do that? Why? It's like an incredible play. I don't know.
So stupid. But what about on the other end? Way of the Shark, man. You know, we talked about it. We knew the running back situation was going to hurt. Zeke is, you know, obviously he's not cutting it. And Tony Pollard looks like a fucking stud there. I forgot to mention that, by the way, on AK's team, that he's got Tony Pollard. And I think that might be huge down the stretch. But I don't know why they're not starting Tony Pollard. I mean, Zeke to me is kind of toast. I think
it's because they paid him so much money. They're kind of all in on him.
Yeah. But Devontae Adams, 0.7, being in the league, killed me. You know, GE, unfortunately, kind of on the downfall right now with the running back injuries and everything. And I think kind of free falling out of it. And Bassinger looks like he's probably the best team in our division.
Yeah, best team in the league. He's been putting up big numbers. He's got the most points now, I believe. And yeah, he's starting to separate himself from everyone as tier one. Especially if he makes a deal with you.
We'll see. We'll see. Time will tell. So speaking of me, we'll get to my matchup next. And we do have to mention the highest scoring team of the week, the Jekyll and Hyde of all Jekyll and Hyde, team Kim John Kirkpatrick. Huge win. I mean, you know, Papa Smurf, I snuck in Greg Dulcich, who, by the way, is going to be one of the biggest sleepers. Let's watch that with Russell Wilson. I picked him up a couple weeks ago. But I was favored to win. I was excited. I thought I had a chance, but didn't know better. Team Turbin looked good. His team, I mean, Tua looked really good. A.J. Brown finally performing, and the pickup of Donta Foreman was huge. The guru, Bones Cannoli, actually texted me a couple weeks ago, like, when the injury happened, to pick up Foreman, and I kind of just kind of spaced on it and didn't really want to do it and whatever, and Turb did it, and obviously it's panning out very well. The guy's looking like a stud. But Turb's team's on the rise, man. I think Turb's going to, you know, he's obviously going to ascend to the rankings here. He's got some good pieces here. I don't know what's going to happen when Chuba comes back. Unfortunately, you know, Josh Allen had a down week for me. I have absolutely no receivers on my team, so I think we're pretty much toast. But I definitely think Kim Jong might be pulling what he did last year, possibly.
Yeah, curious on why Joey told you to pick up Foreman and didn't pick him up himself. Tell me more about that.
I don't think he had a droppable asset. I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah, it was just a text. It was like a text one night. And honestly, I didn't even know who. I wasn't paying attention. I thought it was a Foreman on a different team. I didn't even know it was Donta Foreman. At the time, I wasn't really doing my research very well, so that's why I deserve to lose. So.
Yeah, Daryl Henderson, White. Yeah, I'm not buying. He didn't have anyone to drop. But that's interesting that that conversation happened. I don't usually tell people in my league to pick up players that can potentially be studs.
It was a text. It was a text, by the way. So we don't want to get, you know, but it wasn't a conversation. So.
What's the difference between a text and a conversation of telling someone? Was it solicited? Was it unsolicited? Did he just be like, hey, you should pick up?
Well, Daryl Henderson's a starter, was supposed to be a starter on a team before this random dude show up.
He's washed. Daryl Henderson is washed.
And Foreman was supposed to split carries with Chuba. You didn't know what was going to happen there. I mean, I get, you know, I understand the, not that I'm trying to defend it, but anyway, I'm the idiot for not picking him up. I should have picked him up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what are your thoughts on this match? What do you think about Kim Jong, high scoring points of the week, looking solid?
Yeah, I mean, anytime someone has high points of the week, you always got to consider them as, you know, a contender or whatnot. But like I said, it's a week-to-week league. And not that, you know, Foreman isn't going to have a stranglehold on this. I know if Hubbard comes back, it's going to be 50-50, and he's not going to be able to reach that ceiling. Tua, he's one of those guys that has it some weeks and doesn't other weeks. Because I feel like Jarrett's team has kind of, and same with AJ Brown, like he's had games where he's like not part of it, where teams kind of just take him out. I think Pittsburgh was a little bit outmatched. They don't have that many corners that can compete with him, and he kind of just outdid him. But I feel like AJ Brown, and he's even did it in Tennessee, where he just kind of disappears. And if he has a week where, obviously this week, where everyone kind of shows up, Turb is a candidate to have a week where, you know, nobody shows up, and he's had a couple of those this year. But yeah, he's, I mean, between me, him and Grant, you know, I think we're fighting for that last spot. And if he can have more weeks like this, yeah, he's definitely in the mix. But, I'm just trying to take a look at what his point totals have looked like. Coming into this week, he had a 85, 113, and 107. So 3 weeks in a row where he didn't have more than 113. And he got a shitty win versus me in one of those. So, like, I'd like to see him put a couple of these weeks together before, you know, we like, oh, well, this guy is going to do what he did last year. Because he can easily just have one, you know, big game. Because, I mean, he had another 89. He's had two weeks under 100. So it just goes to show that can happen any week for him, too.
Jekyll and Hyde. And by the way, it's two high scoring performances, both in the case, everybody knows. So, but anyway, that's how it goes. Moving on, let's get to another match. Let's talk about, I think we got a couple left here. Keith Whiteson just kind of keeps doing it, putting up enough 150 again. I mean, he's kind of consistently been putting up 140, 130, 150. I mean, he's always thereabouts. You know, Mariota's looking like a solid play. Hopkins, we stashed on the bench, absolutely great. Looks like he's right back to his normal self. You know, so I mean, absolutely just looking good, looking like his normal self. He's getting it tough. On the other end, unfortunately, you know, draft Dala Hala couldn't even get a real quarterback in, so they started to pick Baker Mayfield this week. Darren Waller, was Darren Waller active? I think there should be a fine eligible play this week.
Did the Raiders even play this week? Did they even show up?
Anyway, don't worry, Jeff. We're not going to put up for a vote. We don't care. It's fine. But, yeah, we know the story with draft Dala Hala. We'll see. He might be favorite to win the championship next year in the Vegas book, supposedly. But, yeah, team, long story short, Team Weissman looking great. I mean, you know, the usual. And not much more to say about draft Dala Hala. What are your thoughts?
I don't want to spend my time talking about him. He does enough talking on GroupMe about how awesome he is at fantasy football. I don't know. I guarantee what, like, if one person to give more all this draft dollars to, the one person that I have no faith in being able to take advantage of that is probably him.
We love you, Jar. We love you. Last matchup, I think, was another lower scoring one, but still both teams should be in the hundreds. Team Suva Suva put together a valid lineup this week. Thank you, Suva Suva. Versus Raffleman, and Raffleman again looking solid, going to get the win here. You know, even though he had some down aspects on his team this week, you know, Travis Etienne's looking like a stud all of a sudden, and you know, you got Joe Burrow and Boyd looking like a good stack here coming down the stretch. So again, you know, Team Raffleman, I feel like they're on the ascend. You know, still some holes in the lineup, but I definitely think right there in contention for the playoffs, and Suva Suva obviously looking to see what he can get for Chubb.
Yeah, this is another big one where Steve needs about 40 points from Burrow and Boyd to get the victory point, which would also keep space between him and Daniel and that tight race down there. And also would take that victory point away from me because Aaron outscored me by like 0.3. So, yeah, if Joe Burrow and Tyler Boyd hook up for some big plays tonight, could be trouble for me and for Daniel if Steve steals that victory point away from me, keeping some distance between him and Daniel and hurting me catching up to Grant. So I'm actually got to get running. Is there any last points you want to make?
No. Yeah. Sorry that we were late. Give you guys a great up here today. And everybody have a good
one. All right, buddy.
Best of luck to everybody. Take care.